It was more challenging than I anticipated, but at the same time, it never disappointed. In fact, the overall experience was deemed more rewarding because of it.
Hello, my name's Ellen, and my blind dog Jed and I are walking the Kintyre Way. The walk covers 100 miles across the Kintyre Peninsula, taking in beaches, forestry, moors and ancient woodland, and promises heart-swelling views for me and mind-blowing smells for Jed. This podcast will take you through the walk section by section, including conversations along the way. Details of the walk, accommodation, transport, maps and step-by-step guides can be found at thekintyreway.com. This episode is sponsored by the Rotary Club of Campbelltown. Rotary is one of the world's largest and most successful global membership and humanitarian service organisations. Section 2, Clannig to Clachan. Distance 10 miles, allow 5 to 7 hours, and it's suitable for walking, running and cycling. Terrain is a mixture of paths and tracks with some lovely open views. Clannig is a village a mile south of Skipness and the location of the seasonal ferry to Arran. The terminal has a car park and a shelter for the bus service to Darbet. From the road junction at Clannig, this section begins with about a mile's walk southwest on the single track road. There's no verge, but the traffic is pretty light. And before you know it, you're climbing again. But with the ascent are the rewards of excellent views over Arran. The track crosses ancient moorland with heather and bilberry, and the views across Arran just keep getting better and better. Bearing right, you begin to descend towards Loch Hirin. Thank you, Jed. On a broad and easy-going forestry track. On the northern eastern side of the loch, look out for the Loch Hirin standing stone. Right, come on, puppy. Oh my god. This is why it takes us so long to walk the Kintyre Way, because we have to stop every 30 seconds to either smell something or try and eat something that we shouldn't. Sheep poo being particularly. Come on, let's go. Come on. Otherwise, we're never going to get home. Right, Jed and I are now walking very slowly the Clannig to Clachan section. We've just traversed several miles of moorland and we've had a couple of dry days, so it's pretty good going underfoot, actually, not too muddy. Loch an Fruach has just come into view and we are getting our first glimpses of Dhiúr, which is exciting. This is a really, it's windy, I hope you can hear this. This is a really amazing bit because we can see Dhiúr on one side, and then if we look back, we can see Arran on the other side. So you're seeing right across the Kintyre Peninsula. I keep saying we, I mean me. Jed can't see anything. But he has just rolled in some sort of dead bird, so he is in absolutely great order. Loch Hirin standing stone. I'm a massive fan of standing stones, so I'm really intrigued to see this one. And it's pretty impressive. I've got my notes again. So here we go. I'm just going to turn away from the wind as well to try and get you a better. Right, so Loch Hirin standing stone was planted in the ground in the 3rd or 2nd millennium BC. Standing stones, it says, are widespread across all of Scotland and are most often found together as part of circles, alignments or avenues. Loch Hirin Sentinel stands just shy of 7 feet tall. I'm about 5 feet tall, so it is looming over me, and is almost entirely covered in camouflaging lichens. More unusual yet, here we go, is the fact that there are very few other recorded prehistoric monuments in the area. So it would have taken a lot of motivation to transport and erect a single standing stone right here. Formerly categorised by those who know about such things as prehistoric ritual and funerary. It is also deemed to be in good condition. And there's letters. It says there's letters carved in it. JKSMT. Oh, yeah. Oh, These can be dated to more recent times. That's a shame. Right, Jed, don't. No. Oh my god. The standing stone belongs to Jed now.
A diversion that we didn't quite have time for this time is Dunskeg. Let's be honest, vitrified hill forts such as Dunskeg are not always the most exciting or majestic monuments from our ancient past, but they do warrant a closer look. Vitrification was once believed to be the process of fusing and thereby strengthening stone walls through the application of super intense heat. And there are many examples across Scotland where rocks have become enveloped in a glass-like coating and even entire walls transmogrified into one solid shiny lumpen mass. Today's archaeologists, however, have concluded that heating actually weakens structures, so the consensus now is that vitrified forts are the result of deliberate arson following the capture of a fort by an enemy or as a ritual sort of shutting up shop by its occupants. Built in the Iron Age to defend the port of Kennacraig, a landing that still connects Kintyre to the islands, Dunskeg consists of three separate structures and resolutely stands guard over the mouth of West Loch Tarbert, despite its ruinous state. From this high perch on the steep hillside, its resident warlord would have been able to command the vital waterway with clear views along the loch and out to the isles. Meaning a small settlement in Gaelic, it's surely no surprise that we find clachans right across Scotland. This clachan, however, is a particularly lovely example of small is beautiful. The village is located on the site of an old church. This was the principal church for North Kintyre and is surrounded by carved stone statues of the chiefs of the clan Alistair. The village's heart is made up of groups of immaculately kept terraced cottages, positioned on the banks of two burns that burble into the West Loch. More homes were added and today Clachan has a primary school, a shop, a filling station and a former kirk is to be transformed into a new community hall and social hub. You may note that Clachan is abound with beautiful flower beds and planters. This is thanks in part to Kathy, one of the army of volunteers who helps to maintain the Kintyre Way.
During lockdown, I decided to brighten the village up, and with my love of flowers, I thought it would be a good idea to share my passion and add some colour to the Kintyre Way.
It wasn't always so peaceful, however. On the 16th of May, 1689, a short but fierce dramash took place at Moot Hill, to the northwest of the village. Jacobite sympathisers, supporters of the deposed James VII of Scotland, hoping to overthrow the usurper William of Orange, had taken control of North Kintyre. They ambushed arriving government troops, but failed to take any advantage, and were ultimately forced to abandon the peninsula altogether. What was a minor loss would become a major setback for the Scottish uprising, as it halted vital supplies from Ulster allies. This was the last battle ever fought in Kintyre.
We are now, I think, about a quarter of a mile from Clachan Village. We're walking along a nice bit of mixed woodland, downhill, which is good, at the end of a long walk. There's a stream just off to the side there, if you can hear it. Just had a big drink. This woodland is absolutely gorgeous. So it's autumn now, but in the springtime apparently this is all just carpeted. Can you hear that? I think that's the A83 in the background. Somebody reversing. So we are near the end of our walk. Yeah, so the woodland is good. There's the A83. So Clachan must be close by. I'm going to sign off. We're heading back to Campbelltown tonight after this section.
Jed and I took a couple of days rest after Clachan, and we wanted to speak to somebody who had recently walked the entire way. Anne MacDonald Ross and her family came over all the way from Kentucky to walk the Kintyre Way this summer, and I caught up with her to see what advice she had for me and what she particularly enjoyed about walking the way.
Probably maybe no one more excited than myself, because it was more challenging than I anticipated.
Right.
But at the same time, it never disappointed. In fact, the overall experience was deemed more rewarding because of it. You know, it still puts a smile on our faces, just the sheer memory and the experience.
What was it that made it more challenging? Was it the length or the terrain or the weather?
Well, I'm not a hiker. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, maybe I just didn't do my homework. It was definitely the terrain. I'm a walker, but I think, you know, the different terrains was what truly kind of made it more challenging for me. Mm. There's not one step that we regret, not one. It's been a lifetime's memory for two of my adult children and myself, and we still, you know, we're only like, you know, almost like 4 weeks out, but we keep making reference to it. It was just I could not have asked it to be any better than it was. There was the amount of challenge that made it, you know, at the end of the day, we were, our little motto was like, we're wowed and proud. I still got a text just before we got on here that they were sending us little photos, or today being that it was Thursday, you know, we would make reference to where we were on that Thursday. We were very fortunate also. We did plan it out because we knew we were not campers. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to, and one of the reasons we combined the first 2 days, you know, like Tarbert to Clonaig to Clachan, was because we felt maybe Tarbert to Clonaig was a little short, and then what were we going to do with our time? Right. So we thought we'd kind of, you know, like carry on and on to Clachan, and that's, and hence was the 22 miles. And then, you know, then we were laughing because at the end of the day, there was an extra mile to get to our bed and breakfast. And by that time, you know, we were shot. But, you know, we had five bed and breakfasts set up along the way. Perfect. And they were all wonderful. Mm. You know, they were all very different, but they were all wonderful experiences. They just were. I mean, the first one was like a five star, and the rest were, you know, there was Alistair at Tain Lone, and I mean, I could go on and on. It was unbelievable how just everything fell into place, and how, what a fabulous time that we had.
Can I sort of take you back a little bit? What was it that made you come over here? Is your accent a mixture of Scottish and Campbelltown?
Well, I am born and raised Campbelltown, and this was my my idea to recognize my 70th birthday, mm-hmm. and I thought the draw was definitely the fact that it was my hometown area. I mean, there was no doubt that was something that I felt drawn to. And obviously sharing it with my adult children, I mean, through the years, they know it. They're very familiar. But it was definitely the magnet that that I could relate to the area, you know, and the beauty of the area. I mean, you can never escape the beauty. Period. I'm the daughter of a commercial fisherman. And one of the highlights for me was absolutely, you know, like getting over that hill, which felt like a mountain at the time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But and then, you know, getting just a glimpse of that shimmer of the ocean. It was like that was it for me, because I knew it was coming, and the anticipation, you know, that it was maybe around the corner. When are we going to see it? I sound giddy, but the experience, I have nothing to replace it with. It was everything and more. You know, we've walked maybe before, but we've done loops. Mm-hmm. And with the entire way, just to continue and constantly wonder what's ahead of you. What's new? What's around that corner? Yeah, It was great. And we got the weather. I mean, we got all that Scotland had to offer, or the peninsula had to offer, you know, because you've got that openness to the elements. And we got it, and it was all part of it. You know, people say, oh, the weather wasn't so great for you. Honestly, I know that I'm sounding a little hokey, but the weather was ideal. You know, there were some days our rain jackets went off and on, you know, constantly. And that was fine, too. And then you were on about the animals. I think our favorite, I mean, we had seen a little doe. My goodness, she came out of nowhere and surprised the heck of us. And I don't think we've ever seen anything move so quickly. But our favorite had to be the coos. I mean, you're walking past them. You're really close to them. Yeah. You know, and there was some apprehension in some places, but they followed you. They were like, and who are you? And where do you think you're going? Because this is our territory, you know, and they would pick up on you from a distance, and they would not let you out of their sight until you were around the corner. And we just got such a charge out of it. Thankfully, it wasn't a charging bull or anything. We thought we did see one of those in one of those fields, and it was like, told you there might have been a bull in there. But no, it was great. It was great.
You can sort of skirt around them quite easily, I think, usually in various places. Okay, well, can you?
Well, not when my baby's in the field with them. It's like, right. Oh, you've got the action. No, this is not what I want.
The protective nature comes in.
Yes, right.
This may be an impossible question, but are you able to pick out a favorite part or some favorite bits?
The one I know that, because I talked to my son about it, and we all felt we had such a fun time at that peak, was when we were, it was from Tain Lawn to Carradale. Mm-hmm. And then you just come across that view, at the peak of Arran across the water, and that was where we attempted our human 70. You know, as it was supposed to be a photograph, like Colin having some height, he was going to be the 7, and my daughter and I tried to do the 0. Well, I mean, we just couldn't do it because we were laughing so hard. It was a feeble attempt, but that was, my son was ahead and his head was down as he was walking up. And then he was just, that was the gift of that day. There was no doubt. It was awesome. It was an awesome view. But I have to say though, ultimately, from a combination, it's hard to beat Southend to Macrihanish. Because of, it can be, I thought it was kind of pretty brutal in places. But then again, it was just the sheer awesomeness of it. We could see Ireland quite clearly that day. It was the most challenging. It was the most challenging. I remember my brother-in-law said, you know, if that mist does come rolling in, he said, you plonk yourself down. He said, you do not battle through it. Now, it never got that bad with us. But, you know, those were great words to heed, because, I mean, there are some major drops in that hike right there. And I think the one that was coming up, it was one of the larger peaks, and it was on the coast. And I remember looking, and I kind of immediately looked back, because it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I wasn't on the cliff, but it was close enough. And it, you know, it gets kind of windy up there. I mean, you're open to the elements, and it's like, oh my goodness. So it kind of picked my step up a little bit, so I could get a little more inland and a little higher up in elevation, just to get away from it. But it's awesome. And like I said, it was just the sheer, just having the Atlantic there, and the terrain, and it was our last day, so we were pumped. I mean, we were. There was, you know, every step was just like, we've done this. We're gonna make this. You know, it was. It was awesome. It was awesome. You're never, you know, Tarbert's 38 miles from Campbelltown. So I knew I was, you know, I knew I was zigzagging, but I have to say that when I was on the bus going home for the first time this past trip, knowing, having an idea of where the Kintyre Way was taking us, you know, as far as zigzagging across, I looked at it through different eyes when I said, well, that means that we'll be coming across that great big hill over there. You know, and you go, whoa, I hope I haven't, you know, bitten off more than I can chew here. It was maybe a little intimidating when I think, ooh, look at all this. That's a long ways, yeah. You know. And it's not just, you know, I don't think the 100 miles was as intimidating, you know, getting 100 miles in 6 days was doable.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, looking back, it was the combination of the miles and the terrain.
Sure.
That felt that we really had the sense of accomplishment and total enjoyment. Total enjoyment. We never, not once, did we feel that we were not going to accomplish them. It never allowed us to feel that we weren't up to it. It was great.
That was Anne McDonald Ross there. Thank you so much for talking to me, Anne. Jed and I are going to take another few days rest and then we're back out for section 3, Clacken to Tain Loan. A special thank you to Strange Crazy for use of their music throughout this podcast.